This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warmer from below. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, one of our good friends, Ben Wilson, who does amazing work here at the network. He's going to be joining me, and we're going to be diving in on what we've all seen in the NL Central this far this season. We're going to be taking a look at the Milwaukee Brewers Cager game for Thursday. What has allowed Freddie Peralta have success in? Take a look at a few games for Thursday. In the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, Lurzio, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast by that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter /X questions today, but we had a great day of baseball on Wednesday. Let's take a look back at it. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
You hit woes for the Colorado Rockies just continue on. They lose the San Diego Padres by a count of 5-2 as just another not so great performance for them. Though Xander Bogaerts, who has been really struggling for the San Diego Padres, he was able to get 3 hits up on the board in this one. But for the San Diego Padres, Matt Waldron, very nice start here. 1 run surrendered over the course of 6 innings, did allow a solo home run to Ryan McMahon, 3rd home run season. Then Elias Diaz, he was able to go deep off of Wandy Peralta, 2nd home run of the campaign for Peralta, gives up that solo home run in his ending of work. But Yuki Matsui, along with Robert Suarez, are both able to give you a scoreless inning. And for Colorado, Ty Block did not get the start that he was hoping for. He gives up 4 runs in the first inning. From there, did settle down. He gives up a grand total of 4 runs over the course of 5 innings. And then from there, you did actually have 3 scoreless innings out of Anthony Molina to lower his ERA to a 10.45. Victor Vodnik gives up an unearned run in an inning as well. But that first inning was a backbreaker for the Colorado Rockies, so they end up following. But our DK network right up big hits. 3rd straight day in which we pick a money line underdog winner. 3-2, the Royals are able to royally take down the Toronto Blue Jays, who just have not been able to generate a lot of offense. Both of these teams have honestly been really good to the under. For the Royals, 16 unders, 8 overs, and a push thus far this season. Meanwhile, for Toronto, 15 unders to just 10 overs thus far this season. And George Springer was pretty much the offense in this one. Goes deep off of NL Zeropa, his 3rd home run of the campaign is Alec Marsh. Not long for this one. 4 1/3 innings. He doesn't allow any runs. I believe he was lifted due to injury. I was doing the Greg Peterson experience at the time, so not quite sure, but I think he was lifted due to injury. Zeropa from there gives up 2 runs in 1 2/3 innings, including that home run. But John Schreiber, Chris Stratton, James MacArthur, they all lend a scoreless inning. Meanwhile, for the Toronto Blue Jays, just a case where they didn't necessarily get the start that they were desiring, as Yordan Rodriguez gives up 3 runs over the course of 4 innings. From there, Bowden Francis, 2 scoreless innings, Genesis Cabrera, Trevor Richards, they both supply a scoreless inning as well. But for Toronto, they go 0-7 with Ben in scoring position, so that's a nice win for us. Well, it's always nice to just fade the Chicago White Sox, and they fall once again, 6-3 the final. Sadly, 3 runs odds in this one is more than their season average, as Joe Ryan did not have the world's greatest start here. He does give up a home run to Corey Lee, second home run of the campaign, and Kevin Pillar is first, as the White Sox put up 3 runs in the first 5, and then they go silent. For Ryan, gives up those 2 home runs, 3 runs in total, of course, at 6 innings, but Matt Bowman, Griffin Jacks, Brock Stewart, they all end a scoreless inning in for the Twins. They go 3-14 with men in scoring position, as Garrett Crochet, after a few nice starts, he appears to be very much regressing and has been getting figured out. 5 runs surrendered over the course of 4 innings, including a home run to Willie Castro, second home run in the campaign. From there, Davey Garcia gives up 1 run in 1 2/3 innings. Tim Hill and out of the bullpen, and then Dominic Leon, John Brebbia, they both supply a scoreless inning, but 3-21 are now the Chicago White Sox. Has been just a giant pit of sadness for them. The Baltimore Orioles, they've been anything but a pit of sadness. If you did have the run line in this one, though, that was a little bit rough, as the Orioles got up 6-0. They only win by 1 run, 6-5 the final, but now your top over team in all of baseball. 15 overs, 7 unders, 2 pushes. Gunnar Anderson, he goes deep once again in this one. His 8th home run of the season, that off of Tyler Anderson, who gave up just 2 runs over the course of 5 innings, and then Jose Suarez led this game on fire. 4 runs surrendered in 2/3 of an inning. From there, Jose Cicerno, 4 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Carson Fulmer, 2 scoreless innings. And for the Angels, you got a trio of home runs, as Zach Neto was able to go deep off of Yennier Cano. Don't you know that's his first home run in the campaign. And then Taylor Ward and Mike Trout, they currently have, between the two of them, 17 out of the team's 26 home runs thus far this season. Trout, 10th home run of the year with 13 RBI. That comes off of Dean Kramer. And then Jacob Webb gives one up to Ward, his 7th. For Webb, gives up that home run in his inning of work. Yennier Cano gives up his home run in his inning of work. Craig Kimbrough gives up a run in his inning of work, while Danny Clavon gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. And Ian Kramer, not a strikeout guy, 10 punch outs, gives up that home run, 2 runs in total over the course of 5 1/3 innings. So the Orioles find a way to be able to get the job done there. And for the Brewers, not a lot of run scoring going on, as they've now scored 3 runs or fewer in 6 out of their last 7 games, but they've been able to have a winning record in this stretch. 3-2, they take down the Pittsburgh Pirates, as for the Brewers, they strand 10 men on base. They just weren't able to get really into the scoring position too much, as Bryce Wilson did his job. 4 1/3 innings, gives up 2 runs along the way, including home run going deep for Pittsburgh. You had Brian Reynolds get his 3rd home run in the campaign, and then from there, the Brewers bullpen went to work. Elvis Piguero, Joe Piams, Trevor McGill, all lined a scoreless inning, and Brian Hudson, he gets 5 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Meanwhile, for Pittsburgh, Josh Fleming, the opener in this one, gives up 2 unearned runs in 2 1/3 innings, hurt by a fielding error by Rowdy Tellez. From there, Luis Ortiz gives up a run in 2 2/3 innings, hurt by his own error, and then Ronci Contreras, Hunter Stranton, they both give you 2 scoreless innings apiece, but Pirates just could not get to that Brewers bullpen. So the Brewers, they get the job done once again, and they're still one of the better over teams in all of baseball, but certainly that has been regressing recently. But something that has been progressing is the New York Mets. After a few rough days out there in Los Angeles, they get the job done here against the San Francisco Giants. 8-2 the final. Francisco Lindor appears to be getting out of his funk. Home runs number 3 and 4 of the season goes deep off of Sean Hegele, along with being able to supply a home run off of Mitch White, formerly of the Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays, as White, in his debut for the San Francisco Giants, gives up that home run, 2 runs in total over the course of an inning. And this was a truest of true bullpen games, with Blake Snell going on the injured list just hours before the game. Ryan Walker was the opener. He, Eric Miller, Luke Jackson, along with one of the two Rodgers and Taylor Rodgers, were able to turn a scoreless inning, but Hegele was supposed to be the bulk guy, gave up 3 runs in 2 2/3 innings. He gave up a pair of home runs, while you did have 3 runs surrendered while getting just 4 outs out of Landon Ropp as well. The other home run in this game, that came off the bat of Tyrone Taylor, his 2nd home run of the campaign, while Sean Manea, not a lot of length here for the Mets. Gives up 4 walks in 4 2/3 innings, but keeps it clean, does not give up any runs. Reed Garrett does give up his home run in his 2 innings of work, as it was home run number 1 of the campaign for Tyler Fitzgerald, but was able to mitigate things there. You did have Edwin Diaz give up an unearned run in his inning of work, hurt by Pete Alonso throwing error, and Adam Ottavino, 4 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. So the Mets able to hold down the fort, and they're able to get the job done. The Cardinals, they have been having a very rough go of it on offense, and they become a really nice under team. 15 unders, 8 overs, and 2 pushes, but they find a way to be able to get a win against the Arizona Diamondbacks, 5-1 the final. Diamondbacks sat most of their starters in this one. You saw Lourdes Gurriel, Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte not be in the starting lineup in this one, and they go 0-8 with men in scoring position, while Jordan Montgomery against his former team wasn't bad. Gives up 3 runs, 2 of which were earned over the course of 7 innings, was hurt by Blaze Alexander throwing error, but that said, Ben Jarvis comes in from there, gives up 2 runs in just a 1/3 of an inning, and then Had a pair of outs out of the bullpen from Andrew Salfrank as well. Meanwhile, for St. Louis, this was a very good start from Kyle Gibson. Starters or not, he went out there. He gave up just one run over the course of six innings. From there, Jojo Romero, Andrew Kittredge, Ryan Helsley. They're all able to end. A squirrel is to be able to get that one to the window. And the Reds, they get to the window as well. They're now 14-10. They take down the Philadelphia Phillies by a count of 7-4 for the Phillies. You're able to get a modicum of offense in this one from just everyone up and down the boulevard as Alec Bohm goes 4-4, but they go just 4-16 with Ben in scoring position as Spencer Turnbull, not a bad start here, gives up a solo home run over the course of five innings, going deep for Cincinnati, Will Benson, third home run of the campaign, and then the bullpen made a mess of things. Sir Anthony Dominguez, he goes two-thirds of an inning, and he allows four runs, all of which were earned. Matt Strom gets an out of the bullpen, while Gregory Soto, Jose Alvarado, they both give up a run in their ending of work. And for Cincinnati, Nick Lodolo, only four strikeouts. He gives up three runs over the course of five innings, but the bullpen at his back, as he had Justin Wilson, Lucas Sims, combined for a scoreless inning. Emilio Pagan does give out an out of the bullpen, but gives up a run as well. But Fernando Cruz, pair of outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Brent Suter, Alexis Diaz, scoreless eighth and ninth innings to be able to get that one to the window. And also being able to get to the window on the run line thus far this season has been the Cleveland Guardians. They have the best run line record in the big leagues at 17-7. Not the case, though, on Wednesday. 8-0. The Boston Red Sox are able to hold them down as, for the Red Sox, trio of home runs in this one. Connor Wong was Mr. Right off of Carlos Cookie Carrasco. Fourth and fifth home runs of the season are Rafael Devers. He also takes Carrasco for a ride. Third home run season for Carrasco. Five runs surrendered in five innings. From there, Pedro Avila in long relief gives up two runs over the course of three innings. Tyler Beede gives up a run in this inning as well. And for the Cleveland Guardians, just four runs in this one. They went 0-1 with men in scoring position. He had Zach Kelly come in for a pair of scoreless innings. Yuli Rodriguez, a pair of scoreless innings. And Cooper Criswell, very good start, gives up just three hits, five scoreless innings for him, so they were able to get that one done. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, it's been a up and down season for them, but they find some offense. They take down the Detroit Tigers by a count of 7-5 as Captain Jack Flaherty was captain of the SS Poo Poo Platter, giving up four runs over the course of five innings, including a home run as going deep off of him. Randy Arozarena, his third home run season, then got home run number one of the season for Curtis Meade. Meade goes deep off of Will Vess. For Vess, he gives up that home run, three runs a total over the course of an inning. The Tigers have been really your best bullpen in the big leagues, so a little bit uncharacteristic of them, but Shelby Miller, Andrew Chafin, they both landed scoreless inning. And for the Detroit Tigers, they've actually gotten very hot with their bats, by the way. Even though they lose this one, for the Detroit Tigers, they've now been able to put up at least five runs on the board in six out of their last seven games. If you want to go to four runs, they've been able to do so in eight out of their last nine, as Sean Armstrong, the opener, gives up one run over the course of his inning of work. But Tyler Alexander, the bulk guy, former Detroit Tiger, nothing great, nothing terrible. Two runs surrendered over the course of four innings. Chris Savinski does give up two runs in an inning, and the Rays still a bottom five team in terms of their bullpen ERA this far this season, but Jason Adam, when they needed him, he was able to supply two scoreless innings, and Garrett Clevenger comes in. He holds down the 4-4 scoreless inning of his own. For the Oakland A's, they've been quite good on the run line as an underdog this season, but this was not their night on Wednesday. 7-3, the New York Yankees find a way to get the job done as Joe Boyle. Oh, Boyle did not rule, giving up two runs over the course of three innings, including a home run. Aaron Judge finally gets going. Fourth home run season, that off of Boyle. Meanwhile, Anthony Rizzo, he was able to take Michael Kelly for a ride. Third home run season, then Danny Jimenez gives one up to Juan Soto. Sixth home run season for Jimenez, gives up that home run in his inning of work. Kelly gives up three runs over the course of two innings, and yeah, Kyle Mueller come in for two innings, allowing a run along the way. And for the A's, they actually lead the big leagues in terms of home runs per game away from home. Brent Rooker, fifth home run season, that comes off of Clark Schmidt, who gave up three runs in five and a third innings. But Luke Weaver, he's able to come in for two and two thirds innings scoreless, and Ian Hamilton closes the door. He's able to supply a scoreless inning as well. The Miami Marlins have been more competitive recently, but this did not go their way as well. They're now 6-20 on the season, 4-3. The Atlanta Braves find a way to be able to get the job done as Sixto Sanchez was pretty much an opener plus in this one. Three runs surrendered over the course of two and two-thirds innings. From there, the bullpen was actually really good. This for a Miami Marlins team that has been terrible in the bullpen thus far this season. Calvin Pochet, along with Ryan Hoying, both supplied two scoreless innings apiece. Andrew Nardi, a scoreless inning of his own. Bert Schmidt gives you four outs out of the bullpen scoreless. And then Tanner Scott in the 10th inning gives up the unearned run that starts on second base as Michael Harris the second in RBI double. That ends the game here. And for the Miami Marlins, they went 1-13 with men in scoring position, which cost them as you did have Asu Sanchez go deep in this one, his second home run on the campaign off of one. Reynaldo Lopez, who had a good start. That's all he gave up. Solo home run, one run allowed in seven innings. From there, Rossy Iglesias gives up two runs, one of which was earned in the ninth inning to force extras, so he blew the save, but Joey Jimenez, AJ Minter, they both give you a scoreless inning, so the Atlanta Braves, they continue to be rather impressive, 17-6 thus far this season. And for the Walker Texas Rangers, they've been up, down all around the season, but they're able to get a 5-1 win over the Seattle Mariners. For the Walker Texas Rangers, they did a nice job getting to Bryce Miller for a pair of solo home runs over the course of four innings. Adolis Garcia's fourth home run season, Evan Carter his fourth. From there, the bullpen was able to do relatively solid. Taylor Cicado does give up a run in one and a third innings, but Tyson Miller, unearned run surrendered in two-thirds of an inning. Austin Voth, unearned run surrendered in two innings, so that was by his own fielding error, so I feel like he should be responsible for that. But the Seattle Mariners, they're responsible for trying to drive men in. They went 1 of 11 with men in scoring position, as John Gray was not long for this game. Gives up 7 hits and 4 2/3 innings, but allows just one run. From there, the bullpen did their part. You had David Robertson supply two scoreless innings, Grant Anderson a scoreless inning, and then Jonathan Hernandez is able to give you 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and the Houston Astros just continue to be terrible. 7-18 are the Houston Astros now this season. 4-3, they fall to the Cubs as the Cubs do all their damage in the first inning. Spencer Arrighetti, he goes 3 2/3 innings, allowing 4 runs, including a home run going deep for the Cubs. You had Dansby Swanson get his 3rd home run of the campaign, a 3-run shot. From there, things calm down for an Astros bullpen that has not been great this season. Sean Dubin, 2 1/3 inning scoreless. Rafael Montero, Ryan Presley, they both land a scoreless inning, and Jose Altuve is able to go deep off of Hector Neris in the ninth inning, his 6th home run of the campaign, to make things interesting. But James Dion, relatively good start, 2 runs, one of which was earned in 5 2/3 innings. Eber Elsley, Luke Little, both provide a pair of outside the bullpen scoreless. Mark Leiter Jr. scoreless inning, and then Hector Neris does allow that home run, but gives up nothing other than this home run to be able to get the team to the window. And if you're looking at Major League Baseball right now, we have been seeing quite a few unders here in recent days. Over the last 7 days, 48 unders to 37 overs, as unders overall for the season lead overs. And we've been seeing the favorites having a good time of things. 55-35 on the money line over the last 7 days. If you're looking overall for the season, favorites hitting more around 59.1%, 217-150. Road team still 189-182 on the money line. Meanwhile, the under rate is 51.5% in Major League Baseball right now. 184 unders, 173 overs. So that's what we're seeing in Major League Baseball right now, and that's what we all got on Wednesday. Now let's turn it forward to Thursday, and let's take a look at the NL Central with one of our good friends, Ben Wilson, a fellow Wisconsinite and a guy that does great work here at VSiN, along with all of his play-by-play work. He joins me next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man as we are being joined by Ben. We are being joined by Ben Wilson, who does such great work here at the network. On top of that, if there's something to be called, he's probably doing it, whether it's indoor football, whether it's college baseball, whether it's college basketball, you name it, he does it. I know that he's gotten in on some Vegas Golden Knights action this season as well, so he does a tremendous job on that front. Goes as far as to do a little bit of tennis to be able to help us out as well. You're able to follow him on Twitter /X at Ben_Wilson, then an underscore and the number one altogether. And Ben, always great to be able to get you aboard. Thank you.
Always the best intros in the business, Greg. Although I will say, nothing brings me more joy and pleasure than watching random NL Central baseball in April, which we didn't get for the first couple weeks of the year, but now we're finally into the throes of tons of divisional ball, which is fun to watch.
Oh, it is fun to watch, and it has been a fun season if you've been a Milwaukee Brewers fan thus far. And I think that we're both noticing what we were both expecting. We've seen a little bit of regression with these Brewers bats over the last few games. I believe that entering into Wednesday, they had scored three runs or fewer in five out of their last six games. But how do you take a look at this Brewers team that entered into Wednesday on top of the NL Central? But as we know, they're now battling a little bit of injury with Christian Yelich being out of the fold, and now having Atlanta Wade Miley on the injured list as well.
What's funny, Greg, is it kind of feels like everybody within the NL Central, and this is not something that we would have said in years past, but every team, it seems like, has pretty significant issues in their lineup. You go top to bottom, the St. Louis Cardinals are, what, 1-8-4 in first fives, with a lot of that being because of anemic offense over their last 13 games. They just have no offense. I don't know what's happening with Paul Goldschmidt right now, but he looks lost at the plate. And you go down the line. I mean, Cody Bellinger hits the IL for the Cubs, and Ian Happ's been banged up a little bit too, got off to a hot start, and it's sort of like, where's the consistency there with the Cubs? Kind of feel like with Pittsburgh, unless it's O'Neill Cruz and Brian Reynolds in really good hot form along with Cabrian Hayes, there's just not much to be scared about. So I think you can really apply that everywhere across the division, which makes this one of the more fascinating divisions in baseball. And with Cincinnati, I'm also surprised. Like, I was super high on Christian Encarnacion Strand taking a huge leap in 2024 and have pretty big shares of him, you know, in fantasy and in other spots. And he's been a very, very popular prop guy to bet on, and he just hasn't really shown up yet. So I think there's a lot of question marks with all these teams, and it's where, as much, Greg, as we view Milwaukee as being relatively thin as far as depth and pitching, they've been able to get away with it just because so many of these teams are facing just don't have much cooking with the bats right now, if we're being honest.
Yeah, it has been interesting to be taking a look at them recently, and just how much do you think it is for the Milwaukee Brewers that these guys are hitting a little bit of, shall we say, a wall with these guys being in their first or second year in the league, and how much do you think that this is going to be a sign of things moving forward where it might be a case where the Brewers, they hit just absolutely tremendously one week, and then the next week it goes down the toilet bowl, because we notice that a lot with younger teams like the Milwaukee Brewers.
No doubt, and I think it's very telling when you have a guy like, say, Rhys Hoskins, right, who feels like a focal point of the lineup. Sure, he'll give you stretches, and is a guy who can come up with clutch hits every so often, but it's not a guy you want to be relying on in the part of your order to really be putting the offense in a, you know, in a next level type of scenario. I think he's down to now around 220 hitting on the season, and it kind of feels like a while ago that Hoskins had the, you know, that first weekend where he just exploded against the Mets and was doing so many great things, but that's not really what they signed him to do. He's a really solid power bat. Like, he and Gary Sanchez are veteran hitters who aren't going to hit for a ton of average, but they certainly have pop. It's just you need more than them in your lineup. And I think that's kind of what the Brewers are going through right now. I'm just looking for some of that consistency, and I think it's telling that they've gotten some of the younger guys to step up, and I've been impressed with what Bryce Terang has done toward the bottom of that lineup as one of the, you know, the only over 300 guys in the lineup right now, and he's been a huge pleasant surprise for them. It's just, can they get some other more consistent pieces to do that along in the fold that they can kind of make this offense a little bit more dynamic and powerful as a result?
Yep, absolutely. I think that that's going to be so key for them as Ben Wilson, who does such amazing work here at VSiN, is joining me on the Baseball Betting Show. And I'm very intrigued by the starter that we're going to be getting on Thursday in Freddie Peralta, because right now he looks like he could be able to put up some fringe Cy Young numbers, especially with the way that everyone has been dropping like flies in terms of these starting pitchers, with like the Spencer Strider and company hitting the injured list. But just what have you noticed out of Freddie Peralta this season? Because typically he's a little bit of a slow starter, but you saw towards back half of 2023, post All-Star break, he was really good. And it's very clear that whatever form he was able to find towards back half of 2023, he has carried it and then some into the start of this 2024 campaign.
Yeah, no doubt. I really think a lot of it is mental and his willingness to say, hey, I'm the horse of the staff now. I mean, Corbin Burns is no longer in Milwaukee. And Brandon Woodruff, who's injured out for the season. And I've been impressed with the mental makeup of Peralta, because he's always been such an emotional pitcher. And that has been a strength for him at times. And it's also been a weakness of his. There have been a lot of starts you look at, Greg, over the past couple of years where maybe the command isn't totally there and he struggles to find that in game. You know, the one change to his arsenal that I think has made really big dividends, he's always been known as right fastball Fred. He's throwing over, you know, half of his pitches still for strikes, but that rate has come down a little bit. He's throwing more sliders, which is a pretty good pitch for him. You know, if you look at some of the advanced numbers on it, I really like his slider. It's well above league average, and you could argue, and based on some of the Fangraphs pitch values, it's actually his best pitch. And to me, that's been the big adjustment for him. He's gone from using that about, you know, 21-22% of the time. Now it's over a quarter. And when you already have a good fastball with the movement that Peralta has, and you're just able to find that secondary pitch that you can throw consistently, I think that's always been the key for Peralta, is finding that next part of his arsenal. And it's certainly been evident here in a lot of the numbers. And you look at the baseline underlying stats, Greg, it's not like he's a huge regression candidate either, as much as you normally would say, okay, guy who has a 190 ERA, he has to come back to earth. The numbers say, you know, Peralta, for the most part, he's really lived up to those stats. Certainly, you don't expect a sub-2 ERA all season, but I think the slider adjustments have really been paramount for him and why we're seeing so much success out of his game.
Yeah, we have been seeing so much success for him, and just the pitch mix that you were alluding to, I think that that has been so massive, and him just being able to cut down on those walks, because that's always been a big issue for him throughout his career. That has been absolutely massive, and it's been nice to see. And quite frankly, if the Brewers are going to be able to win the NL Central slash be able to keep pace, they're going to need him to be able to keep this up, because with the NL Central right now, only one team entered into Wednesday night with a record below 500. That'd be the St. Louis Cardinals, who have been all sorts of rough with regards to their offense as far as the season. I mean, man, guys like Paul Goldschmidt and company have aged very, very, not so pleasantly this far this season. But how do you take a look at this NL Central? Because just from my gauge, the team that the Brewers are playing right now, the Pittsburgh Pirates, I think that they might be fading into the abyss a little bit. They were probably the beneficiaries of playing the likes of the Miami Marlins towards the beginning part of the season. But I look at those top three teams, the Reds, the Cubs, and the Brewers, and I just get the feeling that this is going to be a three-horse race all throughout the year.
No doubt. I honestly look at Cincinnati, and they've kind of grown on me, to be honest. I think a lot of it is they really haven't done much with the bat so far, and yet, you know, the pitching, I think that was always the question for them, was how would they develop in that sense. And I realize there continue to be some growing pains here for Hunter Green, and he's gotten hit hard in some of his outings. But, you know, you look at some of the numbers here, Greg, and they're 25th in average, 20th in on base. It's not an offense that is lighting up the scoreboard like we're used to, but they're clearly making strides in the right direction. I mean, this is now a starting pitching staff that's gone from basically bottom five in baseball to, you know, like they're 12th in starting pitching whip, 11th in Ks per nine. They've certainly gotten a lot better, and you know, the bullpen also has been really solid as well, even if it's not amazing. Again, you're just trying to get to competent if you're Cincinnati, and you figure, right, the offense is going to come. I certainly think it is going to heat up, you know, for that group, and I expect an Encarnacion Strand to get better. So if there was a team I'd probably be in any way in kind of a buy-low mode right now in, it is Cincinnati just because you figure at some point the bats are going to heat up. And I like the strides they've made on the pitching front.
Oh, they certainly have. And getting back Nick Lodolo and him coming back right away and being rock solid, that has been big for the Cincinnati Reds team. And that bullpen, it's still a little bit touch and go, but I do think that there's a little bit of upside with those guys as well. Getting Sam Moll back in the fold, I think, is going to be able to help fortify that back half a little bit. And Alexis Diaz, it's been a little bit wobbly as well when he's at his full. So I think that he's going to be able to supply some good innings as well towards back half of games. That's joining me on the show. We do have Ben Wilson, who does amazing work over here at VSiN. He's joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And Ben, we have talked all about the NL Central thus far, but now we're about a month through the season. I think that it might not be a time where we want to make end-all, be-all assumptions about these teams, but just outside the NL Central, has there been another team much like the Reds that has grown on you, whether that be to the positive or, I think we've got plenty of examples of this, to the negative as well?
Yeah, we certainly have a lot of negative examples.
White Sox.
No doubt. Well, I'll look to, you know, it's funny you say the White Sox, but remember, 2 years ago, the White Sox were that classic team that were very, very hyped in the preseason. A lot of smart baseball people were all in on Chicago, and they came out of the blocks really slow, couldn't put much together, and we said, okay, now this is the buy low point. And then we got to June, and it was like, okay, now maybe this is the buy low point. And it just never happened. And I think there's a team every year that gets talked highly about in the preseason. The year starts, they seem off for whatever reason, and we as bettors just tend to have this kind of one-track mindset of, okay, it's got to be a buy low point. There just has to be. And, you know, sometimes maybe we're just wrong. Maybe there's teams that just, for whatever reason, they just aren't any good. I don't know that to say, Greg, I'm all the way there with the Houston Astros, but I'm getting closer. I realize that they've had injury. I realize Justin Verlander just came back for them. But something just kind of feels off with the Astros here. And can maybe attribute that to, you know, leadership and how great Dusty Baker was. And maybe underrated is how good he was to keep that whole group together despite the adversity they face. But maybe that's the team. Like, I've just been so unimpressed with everything they've had. And, you know, clearly the Josh Hader experiment, it seems like he has certainly passed his peak value as a closer with some of the struggles he's had early. I just go into games night in, night out, not really fearing, like, when you talk about it, betting day by day, like, I'm not afraid of betting against the Astros anymore. I think, like, a lot of people were over the last few years. So maybe that's the team that just turns into this darling that people want to look to buy low on, and maybe that buy low point just never happens because they don't really turn it around.
Yeah, that could be the case, and we find it every single year. Like the St. Louis Cardinals last year was a good example of that as well, because the St. Louis Cardinals were so mispriced, and Miles Michaelis, he continues to be mispriced this season. He has been such a tremendous fade, so that has been something that has been so incredible, and we just find one or two of those teams every year, and then we always find one or two of those teams as well that they don't get the respect. Like we saw with the Giants in 2021 when they were able to win the NL West, it felt like bookmakers just never really caught up to them because the preseason notion was, oh, this is going to be a team that at best is going to be 500, and they just never truly regress. So I am so glad that you bring that up. And in terms of what we are going to be getting on Thursday, it's not a bad slate in terms of a getaway day. Typically, we only get like 5-6 games on a Thursday. We've got 10 that are currently on the board. Is there anything that you are going to be taking a look at in terms of Thursday, whether it be a game that you're going to be looking to bet, or perhaps it's just a game that you want to see a little bit more from a specific team or pitcher?
Yeah, I'm looking to target one pitcher in particular, and it's a guy I was really high on coming into the year. We're in this era of, you know, relatively speaking, it's still small sample sizes, but Bailey Ober, man, I really thought he was, based on the command numbers, control, I thought he was really poised to take the next step there in Minnesota. And what's he do? He comes out for start against Kansas City, and he gives up 8 earned in an inning and a third and just looked awful. But a lot of that was just leaving balls over the plate. His command, sometimes when you are a command pitcher, and you always talk about wildness and missing out of the zone, well, sometimes you can have even more disastrous results when your bad command results in pitches in the zone, because he gave up 3 homers in that game. It just looked terrible. But since then, 3 starts, 17 innings, I think it's, what, 3 earned runs allowed, Greg? I mean, the guy's been amazing, and he clearly has shown that all that optimism from the preseason was definitely warranted. It was just one bad outing you kind of throw out. So I think a lot of people, too, maybe look at his numbers and go, okay, 4.91 ERA, not impressive, but the context really matters this time of year. It's 4 starts, 3 of them really crisp, really solid, 1 horrible that you just kind of throw away. And he gets as soft of a matchup as you could ask for here in the Chicago White Sox. So I'm certainly looking at all the angles here on Ober. You know, and again, when you're betting against the White Sox, you got to pay into the tax. So whether that's a you know, over to get the win prop like that, or the outs prop over, stuff like that. That's how I'm going to look to attack Bailey over for Thursday. But I've really been impressed with how his command has grown and how he bounced back after such a disastrous first start.
Yeah, with Bailey over, it's been interesting to gauge him because he gets quite a few strikeouts. He doesn't walk a lot of guys, but when he misses, he gives up that hard contact. Good news for him, he's going up against the Chicago White Sox team that is very clearly dead last in the big leagues in terms of generating hard contact, in terms of home runs. If you look at the Baseball Savant numbers, it should get a little bit better for the Chicago White Sox, but quite frankly, it honestly can't get any worse. So
no doubt,
that's going to be interesting to gauge moving forward. And that's a total of 7.5 in that game, in which if you're going to be able to get it over, I think that the Minnesota Twins might need to score 7 runs all by themselves. So
that's
going to be and that could very easily happen. Mike Soroka has been absolutely horrible this year as well. So we've got a lot to gauge for Thursday, and we've got a lot to gauge just on the baseball front in general. And Ben, I know you're doing a tremendous job of this. You're on a little bit of everywhere. You're broadcasting darn near for every single sport on the face of planet Earth. You do an amazing job with our week at work here at VSiN. And hey, I know you've been doing some work on VSiN tonight the last week or so as well. So you're a man that is a 5-tool player. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
I do my best. Ben_Wilson_1. Got a busy stretch right now. Got arena football in full force. Football never dies, it seems. And then, yes, between Live Bet Saturday and Sunday and then filling in a bunch. VSiN tonight, a numbers game here in Lombardi Line over the next few weeks. So you'll be seeing me a lot over on VSiN.
Yes, sir. And that makes us all the better because Ben, he does a tremendous job on the baseball front. He's been doing a nice job gauging the NFL draft. And I know every single year on VSiN, he does a great job with regards to his college baseball picks. He does a bit of tennis as well. He does it all. He's much like in the NBA playoffs, he's that statue stuffer that's able to do a little bit of everything and does so also well. So big thanks to Ben for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always great to be able to get Ben Wilson aboard. He does such good work here at the network and really has a great play-by-play voice. I know that some people have compared him to Joe Davis of Fox Sports and the LA Dodgers, and I think that's so on point. He does such a great job taking a look at the great game of baseball for us over at VSiN. I know that he does coverage of indoor football, tennis, you name the sport, he's doing it, and every single time he joins me, one's great insight. So, big thanks to Ben for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed at @GNN_D1. Going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order, which is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games, and any interleague games. Those are going to be at the bottom, and there's one of those, so that'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy, and we've got one game starting after 1:05 p.m. Pacific time, so very top-heavy card. So let's dive in on 901-902 on the card, and this is also the DK Network right to pick. The Milwaukee Brewers, they're on the road. They're facing off against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mitch Keller goes for the Buccos, and Freddie Peralta's on the bump for the Brewers. Brewers between -119, -125 favorites, and between +105 to +112 is that number on Pittsburgh. 7 is the total. Over is between -110 to -120. The under is saying between even to -110, and write-up is going to be on the over. Semi-total at a 7.9 for Freddie Peralta. He's had a few struggles on the road the last few seasons. If you date it back to the start of the 2023 campaign, has about a 3.83 ERA, 1.3 home runs with 3 walks allowed per 9 innings, so has been absolutely dealing thus far this season. He has given up 3 earned runs or fewer in each out of his 4 starts. He's got 33 strikeouts and 23 2/3 innings, so guy's been rocking and rolling, and the biggest part of it, the walks. Just 4 walks and 4 starts. We were talking about that with our good friend Ben, but that said, you take a look at this Pittsburgh Pirates team throwing out their Mitch Keller, and he has not been in great form this far this season. Has given up at least 4 runs in 3 out of his 5 starts, and for Keller, he was experiencing a little bit of a velocity dip during spring training. He just hasn't been able to find it all season long. Last year, he was getting north of 9 strikeouts, about 2.5 walks per 9 innings, north of 3 walks per 9 innings, 7.5 strikeouts per nine innings thus far this season. So he hasn't been the same pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. They entered into the day on Wednesday in a top five team in the big leagues with regards to runs scored per game on the road. Now, they've been in a little bit of rougher form, three runs or fewer scored now, seven out of their last eight games. But I do think that they're going to be able to find it here against Mitch Keller. We've got a pair of guys, Jackson Chirillo, William Contreras, who both been able to supply four home runs. And Contreras, he has been absolutely incredible. He's been able to give you a 439 on base. And then you've got the likes of Willy Adames, Blake Perkins, Bryce Turang. These are all guys supplying at least a 365 on base. They're all hitting at least a 285 as well. So that has been massive. Flip side for the Pittsburgh Pirates, I think that they're going to get their act together a little bit more. Entered into yesterday, averaging about 4.25 runs per contest. And you've got O'Neill Cruz, who's been able to give you a trio of homers. Needs to make the routine play a little bit more. You do have a trio of guys, and Connor Joe, along with Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, who have all been able to do a solid job being able to move the line. These three guys, they've all been able to give you at least a 355 on base. Power numbers aren't necessarily there for the Pirates. They've hit just 19 home runs thus far this season, but I do think that you're going to be able to get a little bit more of the likes of Henry Davis, Rowdy Tellez, who have been a bit rough. And speaking of rough, that'd be the Pirates' bullpen. They entered into yesterday, 21st in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Then dealing with the injury to Ryan Borucki, which has really been hurting them. Colin Olderman isn't bad. I like Aroldis Chapman along with David Benar out there in the bullpen in the 8th and 9th inning, but the guys like Ryan and company have not been so impressive. And for the Brewers, this has been a very good bullpen. 2.85 ERA thus far this season, but with the injuries that they've suffered, with having Wade Miley landing on the injury list, having to throw out their some last-second starters like Tobias Myers, they have had to rack up quite a few innings. So these guys like Elvis Piguero, Joel Piams, Admir Uribe, who have all been very rock solid this far this season, they have been seeing a little bit more usage. You only got four innings yesterday from Bryce Wilson as well, so Brian Hudson had to really hold down the fort as well. So I do take a look at this spot, and I do think that Peralta going to give up a few runs on the road, but I do think that Mitch Keller is just in bad form as well, and I do think that a Brewers offense that has been very good on the road this season gets to him. I was willing to lay up to a minus 130 with the Brewers, so looking at the Brewers money line and my write-up, that is going to be on this little over, anything of a 7.5 or less, looking at the over. 903, 904 on the betting board. The Philadelphia Phillies hit the road face-off against the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are into Cincinnati, and they're on to Nick Martinez getting the start for them. Zach Wheelan and Elon Wheeler is on the bump for the Phils. It is the total over and under, anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 115. Phillies are anywhere between minus 145 to minus 155 favorites. Plus 130 to plus 138 is that number on the Cincinnati Reds. If you're looking at the run line, you're only getting a plus 103 here. I would need a bit more of a plus number to be able to lay the run line, but I'm willing to go up to a minus 154 on the money line. I'm going to play it safe here. This Phillies bullpen has been in the bottom five of the big leagues in terms of ERA, and it's been a case where just have not been able to get right with the likes of Jose Alvarado, Sir Anthony Dominguez, and company. It just always feels like the Phillies, the first month of the season, they just have no idea how to pitch out of the bullpen. I have no idea what it is, but happens time and time again. But Zach Wheeler is right now in very good form. He's been getting north of 10 strikeouts per nine innings, just seven walks allowed in 31 and a third innings, allowing just two home runs. He has been tremendous. He's got a new, I believe it's splitter, that has been really throwing these guys off, so that has been big. And for Nick Martinez, he's been utilized out of the bullpen mostly ever since coming back from the Nippon Baseball League from a few seasons ago, and he's not been great. He's not been terrible. He's given up just two walks in 17 innings. He's a little bit more of a pitch of contact guy. Since resurfacing at the big league level, he's been getting between about 7 to 7.5 strikeouts per nine innings, backed up though by a very good lineup. Ellie De La Cruz has been able to give you seven home runs. He, along with Spencer Sear, have done a nice job being able to give you north of a 375 on base apiece, but it's been a little bit of a hot and cold lineup. Nick Martini has been able to supply three home runs, but he, along with Jonathan India, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Will Benson, they're all hitting a 210 or lower, so heavier issues there. Meanwhile, for the Philadelphia Phillies, it's been touch and go with the lineup. Now you're getting JT Realmuto back in the fold. He got a day of rest or two. You had Bryce Harper, who was on the paternity list, so congratulations to him, and perhaps that'll reinvigorate him. As for Harper, hitting just a 240 for the season, had that three home run game, but past that hasn't necessarily done a whole lot of flop. But Kyle Schwarber has been able to give you power, six home runs, once again hitting about a 200, much like last season, so that's been a little bit of a problem spot. But Trey Turner has been able to find a way to move the line. He and Alec Boehm both hitting above a 320. And for the Reds, it's a modest bullpen. They're not great, they're not terrible out there in the pen. They're about league average with regards to their ERA. They get Sam Moll back in the fold, which is going to be able to help them out moving forward. And I like Alexis Diaz as a closer. He's been a little bit all over the place, so this season, Emilio Pagan wasn't necessarily my favorite pickup, along with Justin Wilson, but I've been able to get really good innings out of Fernando Cruz, so it's it's an interesting spot here. I do think that for Nick Martinez, he's going to be giving up a few runs, and I do think that the Phillies get to him, and I do think that for the Reds, they find a little bit of production off of Wheeler in the bullpen, but in the end, I think that the Phillies get the job done in a very hitter-friendly ballpark. I set my total at 8.6. I like the over, and I like the Phillies on the money line, willing to lay up to a -153. 9-5, 9-6 on the betting board. It is the Colorado Rockies playing us to the San Diego Padres. Randy Vasquez is on the bump for the Pods, and Dakota Hudson is on the bump for Colorado. Colorado is an underdog of anywhere between +124 to +135, and between -145 to -155 is that number on San Diego. 10.5 is the total. Over is -120. The under is even. Semi-total at an 11.6. I like the over for Dakota Hudson. I just don't know what he's trying to be out there on the mound. He just has always been very much a pitch-to-contact guy who gives up a lot of walks. Like, his career strikeout-to-walk ratio is 1.45. That's not great, to say the least. He's been able to keep the ball in the yard. He, over the last four seasons, has not allowed more than a home run per nine innings, but that's the only redeeming quality that you've got from. 5.1 strikeouts to 4.6 walks per nine innings. The ball's in play quite a bit. He's giving up a lot of free passes. Just not a guy that I want to be trusting in. Meanwhile, for Randy Vasquez, I believe that this is going to be his first career start out there at Coors Field. And look at his time between the Yankees and the San Diego Padres. Has been quite fortunate that he's not given up more than he has. In his career 42 2/3 innings, 7.6 strikeouts to 4 walks per 9 innings, yet he's weaseled his way to a 2.74 ERA, fielding independent of a 5.07. His fielding independent is about 2.3 points higher than his ERA. That's a little bit of a warning sign, and he has a tendency to get hit rather hard as well. But the Colorado Rockies, you don't necessarily have a lot of hitting right now for this team, which is not terrific. They've got Chris Bryant on the injured list, and when he was out there, he was doing absolutely nothing whatsoever. You do have a trio of guys, so Brendan Doyle, Ezekiel Tovar, Ryan McMahon, all above a 300. Elias Diaz is in that fold as well. These guys have been pretty rock solid, but right now your biggest power bat is Michael Toglia. He's been able to supply 4 home runs, and he's currently hitting a .106. Like, that's an issue for this Colorado Rockies team. Meanwhile, for the San Diego Padres, they've been dealing with Manny Machado being out of the fold the last few days, but oh no, you still have a lineup that I think is formidable. It's not great, but Luis Capusano has been a very clear upgrade at the catcher spot compared to what they had a season ago. And you've got a lot of guys like Jake Cronenworth, Ha-Sung Kim, throw in there Manny Machado when he has been out there. You're able to even put in there Tyler Wade as well. I'll give you at least about a 325 on base. Xander Bogaerts has been miserable at the plate this season, but had a 3-8 game yesterday. But you've got Jackson Merrill hitting above 300. Fernando Tatis Jr., 6 home runs, 350 on base. He's been rock solid for a Padres team that they always hit better when they're away from home rather than at home, as they play at one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks out there in baseball. But I also do like this Padres bullpen as well. I think that they provide Randy Vasquez a good fighting shot with bringing in the offseason Aniel De Los Santos, Wandy Peralta, Yuki Matsui. All three of these guys have been able to give you a sub-3.3 ERA. Robert Suarez has been okay at the catcher's spot. The Padres bullpen has been about league average with regards to ERA. Meanwhile, for the Colorado Rockies are back finding themselves towards the bottom of the big leagues in terms of their bullpen ERA. This despite the fact that Victor Vodnik has honestly been relatively solid out of that bullpen. He, along Jalen Beeks, have been able to give you a sub-250 ERA, but when you have out there the Gaskins like Justin Lawrence, Anthony Molina, Tyler Kinley, give you a well north of a 6 ERA, that's a big giant issue, and I do think that the San Diego Padres going to be able to get to Dakota Hudson. I think that they knife into this bullpen as well, so I did set my total at 11.6. I like the over, and for the Padres, want to go up to a -148 on the money line. Don't necessarily want the run line, just because with the run line, you're only getting about even money. I would need a little bit more plus money, so I'll stick with the -145 money line to go along with the over. 907, 908 on the betting board. The LA Dodgers hit the road to face off against the Washington Nationals. Mackenzie Gore goes for the Nats. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on the bump for the Dodgers. Dodgers are anywhere between -185 to -185 favorites, between +160 and +170. That is your number on Washington. 8.5 is the total. The over is anywhere between -105 to a -115 both ways, and seeing one straight 8 out there at Circa. The over is -120. The under is even. I am very willing to take that 8 over. I think that that's worth laying the extra few cents of juice, as I did set my total at 9.1. For Washington, they surrendered as a collective 20 hits yesterday, and this Dodgers team can be a little bit hot and cold, but this is still one of the best lineups in all of baseball. You've got Teoscar Hernandez, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts all being able to supply either 5 or 6 home runs, with Ohtani and Betts both providing north of a 430 on base. Will Smith is hitting a 350. You just go down the list, and it's been incredible. Now, I will say the bottom three spots have been an issue. Chris Taylor, James Elman, Gavin Lux, Kike Hernandez, these guys hitting at 215 or lower has been a little bit of an issue, but the Dodgers have so much at the top that it really makes do for it. And for the Washington Nationals, they tried to be able to bring in a little bit more power in the offseason. They bring in Joey Gallo. They also bring in Eddie Rosario. Both of these guys have been miserable to start the year. Combined four home runs at about 120 at-bats, both hitting a .135 or lower. Now, CJ Abrams, 360 on base, six home runs. He has been very good for the team, but yeah, guys like Lane Thomas, Joey Meneses, Kiber Ruiz, guys like this last season, really be able to step up. Ruiz has been dealing with an injury, but I mean, all three of these guys, they've been hitting below at .230 thus far, haven't necessarily been able to supply a lot of power. And for the Washington Nationals, the bullpen has been relatively solid this year. They're in the upper half of the big leagues with regards to their ERA. Dylan Floro got used yesterday, but he's been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. Been able to get some good innings out of the likes of Derek Law, Jordan Weems. Cal Finnegan is always a little bit of a roll of the dice, but so far so good out of him. And for the LA Dodgers, this has been a bullpen that has been right around league average to slightly below average in terms of their ERA. You've had Danny Hudson be able to supply some very good innings, and Nick Ramirez, ever since coming over, has yet to give up a run as well. But you have some obvious guys that have not been so great this far this season. Ryan Brazier, Joe Kelly, these are guys that are posting up north of a 5 ERA, so that does lead to a little bit of issue. And for Yamamoto, he's been able to get swings and misses thus far this season. He's been able to give you about 11 strikeouts for 9 innings, but when he misses, he gets hit rather hard. He's already given up 3 home runs thus far this campaign, and has given up at least 3 runs in 3 out of his first 5 starts of the season. His walks are not bad at all, though. 5 walks in 22 innings. I believe that Yamamoto has pitched much better than his .450 ERA would indicate, though I do think that the Washington Nationals still find a way to be able to weasel out a few runs. And for Mackenzie Gore, he's really been able to take some strides forward thus far this season. Just 1 home run allowed in 20 innings. He's been able to cut down on the walks as well. He's given up fewer than 3 walks per 9 innings while still getting 27 strikeouts in 20 innings. But I do still have some trepidations with him. He's the beneficiary of playing against the Pirates and the Oakland A's begin the season. So that's been something that's been very much able to help him out. And Mackenzie Gore has really good raw stuff, but he's also dealing with a bullpen that had a lot of taxation yesterday as well. So I do think that the Dodgers, they're going to be able to find a way to be able to get to Gore. And I do think that Yamamoto probably going to give up right around about 2 or 3 runs in this one. Both of these bullpens, I think, are going to be doing for a little bit of regression. So it's at my total of 9.1. I like the over. And for the LA Dodgers, was willing to lay up to a -128 on the run line. For the Dodgers, I want to be looking run line just because out of their 226 regular season wins dating back to the beginning of the 2022 campaign, all but 35 of them have been by multiple runs. Right now, you're finding that run line between -115 to -122. I'm going to be willing to lay that. Would have needed at least a +187 to take a shot in the Nationals to go along with the over. 909, 910 on the betting board. It is the Boston Red Sox on the road facing off against the Cleveland Guardians. Tristan McKenzie is on the bump for Cleveland. Jace Anderson is on the bump for Boston. Boston is a +135 underdog, only seeing a number currently up at circa. Meanwhile, for Cleveland, they're a -154 favorite and a total on this game of 7.5. Unders -120 and the over is even. I am not quite sure why they have a 7.5 on this game. I set my total a little bit north of 8.5. I will certainly be willing to take a look at the over. For Chase Anderson, he was miserable with the Colorado Rockies last season, and in a small sample size of 13 innings, he hasn't been awful, but this guy is 36 years old. He doesn't give you any swings and misses. To his credit, he's never really given up a lot of walks, and he didn't last season, but I just don't understand what they're expecting here. He's probably going to give you like 4 or maybe 5 innings. I think they're going to be presentable innings, but I don't think they're going to be great innings. You could conceivably perhaps throw out their Josh Winkowski to piggyback off of him, but I think he's going to be getting a start in the next few days, so I don't know if that's a possibility. The Boston Red Sox bullpen, it's been presentable thus far. Brandon Bernardino has been able to give you some good innings. Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin, this is a great 8th and 9th inning duo, but that said, I think that Chase Anderson is going to be giving up a lot of contact in general. Now, for the Guardians, you do want to note that they have really been hitting lefties. Righties they've had a little bit of a tougher time with, and Chase Anderson is a righty, but the overall power numbers are up from a season ago. You've been able to have Josh Naylor supply 6 home runs, giving you a north of a .370 on base. Jose Ramirez has yet to be able to move the line too much, but he's supplying 4 home runs, and you do have plenty of guys that have been able to find a way to be able to get on base. I mentioned Naylor a little bit before, but Stephen Kwan, Gabriel Urias, both of these guys have been able to give you about a .300 average in the case of Kwan. Far more than that, though, Urias, he's been dealing with a little bit of an injury, so you do want to be noting that. Meanwhile, on the flip side for the Boston Red Sox, being able to get Tyler O'Neill back in the fold, that is massive. Prior to him going on the concussion IL, he was supplying 7 home runs this far this season, but how about what you've been able to get out of Mr. Wong? Connor Wong is up to 5 home runs this season. That's been big, because lot of these younger guys, they just have been big, giant disappointments. Bobby Dalbec, Zadina, Rafaela, Emmanuel Valdez, Pablo Reyes. These are guys hitting below .800, and Jaron Duren has been able to find a way to be able to line, give you a .325 on base, getting back Rafael Devers and him hitting a home run yesterday. That's very encouraging for this offense, but I do think that Tristan McKenzie starting to find it a little bit more. He really just needed to get a good start under his belt. He was able to do so against the Oakland A's in his last start. He gave up just one run over the course of five innings. Walks have been an issue for him all season long. He has given up 15 walks in 18 innings, so you do have your trepidation there. As a matter of fact, he has given up more walks than he's got strikeouts, but he's backed up by a bullpen that ranks in the top three in the big leagues. In terms of ERA, Emmanuel Clase has without question been that dominant closer, but even without Emmanuel Clase, you still have a lot of guys with Tim Aaron, Cade Smith, Nick Sandlin. These guys all give you a sub-3.3 ERA on the bullpen, and I do think that for the Guardians, they're going to do a nice job holding down the fort against the Boston Red Sox. I think that McKenzie starting to be able to get back into that form 2 seasons ago when he had that sub-3 ERA, so I am going to be looking at the over. I did set my total at an 8.8 even with McKenzie still finding that form. I don't think that the Red Sox are going to be completely shut out, and don't necessarily have high expectations for Chase Anderson in this one, so going to be looking at the Cleveland Guardians in this spot. Right now, I'll be probably looking at a run line. I was willing to take anything of a plus 125 or higher, seeing that north of a plus 130, so looking at that run line and the over, 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board. It is the Minnesota Twins. They play also Chicago White Sox, as Mike Soroka is on the bump for the White Sox. The over goes for Minnesota. Minnesota is anywhere between a minus 244 to a minus 260 favorite. Between +$2 and +220 is your number on the White Sox. 7.5 is the total. Over is minus 115. The under is minus 105. I am right there with our good friend Ben. I'm going to be taking a look at Bailey Ober in the spot. If you're looking to lay a run half, you're getting it between minus 110 to a minus 115. Willing to go up to about a minus 120 here. Wouldn't want to go too much further because with Bailey Ober, he does have a tendency to get lit up a little bit in terms of home run ball. He does a nice job with his strikeouts since the beginning of last season. He's been able to give you about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Doesn't give up a lot of walks as well, but all in all, has been able to do a relatively solid job. Now, I will say this as well. I am currently seeing on ESPN, Simeon Woods Richardson, who might be getting the start there. I would still be probably willing to lay about the minus 110 to minus 115 that we are seeing on this run line price if it is Wood Richardson. Was able to give a nice start against the Detroit Tigers in his first go of it in the season. He gave up one run over the course of six innings. Up-and-coming prospect for the Twins, so handicap wouldn't really change too much if it is Woods Richardson that does get the start here, and a lot of that is due to the fact that the Minnesota Twins, if they do throw out their Woods Richardson, they should be able to get some relatively good length out of him. But even if they don't, they are number four in the big leagues in terms of their bullpen ERA. You've been able to have so many guys be able to come in and hold down the fort, and keep in mind that they're doing this with Yoan Duran currently being on the injured list as well. Likes of Michael Bowman, Cole Sands, Cody Funderburk. You've even been able to get some good innings as well out of Brock Stewart. All these guys have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. Meanwhile, for the Chicago White Sox, the bullpen might honestly be the best aspect of this team, and this is a Chicago White Sox bullpen that it's like 19th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Like, there is just really nothing to write home about for the White Sox. If you look at their baseball savant numbers, they should be doing for a little bit of positivity in terms of their lineup. They're hitting about 25 points below their expected average, but that said, right now you've got, in terms of healthy players, three guys are hitting above a .204. Gavin Sheets, Corey Lee, and Daniel Mendick. And Mendick has seen 13 at-bats as far this season. Like, this is a poop stain of a team right now. 12 home runs in 23 innings. Like, what are we doing here? 23 games, not 23 innings. If they were playing 23 innings and they got 12 home runs, you know what? I would change my tune a little bit, but that's what it's going to take to me if I get these guys online. Like, Eloy Jimenez, Nicky Lopez, you're able to throw in their Andrew Benintendi, Andrew Vaughn, just automatic outs up, down, left, and right. And for the Chicago White Sox, Mike Soroka has not been good, to say the least. 7.50 ERA, north of a 6 fielding independent. He's not getting swings and misses. As a matter of fact, he's averaging 4.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's got more walks than strikeouts. He's given up 5 home runs in 24 innings. Like, this guy's getting tattooed. He's given up 4 plus runs in 4 out of his last 5 starts, going against a Twins lineup that has been struggling. This team is in the bottom 5 of the big leagues with regards to their batting average as well, but Edouard Julien not necessarily hitting for a lot of average, but has been able to supply you with 5 home runs. Byron Buxton is up to hitting about a .250 now, and been able to get a little bit out of Trevor Larnach as well. Ever since he's returned to the fold, he's been able to give you a pair of home runs. He's been solid. He and Austin Martin have both been able to do a nice job of being able to move the line, and Ryan Jeffers has given you about a .355 on base. I do think that the Twins are going to be able to get to Mike Soroka, and I do think that regardless of whether it is Ober or Simeon Woods Richards, that both of these guys probably going to give up like 2 runs. I think that the White Sox, who are currently averaging 2.2 runs per contest. They're a little bit better than that. I see a little bit of positivity. So here at the total, I'm going to be looking at the over semi-total at 8.3. But even if it is, Woods Richards would be willing to lay up to a minus 120 or so on this run line to go along with the over. 9.13, 9.14 on the betting board. It is the Toronto Blue Jays on the road facing off against the Kansas City Royals as Cole Reagans goes for the Royals. Jose Barrios is on the bump for Toronto. Toronto is a underdog of anywhere between even money and plus 108. Meanwhile, between minus 115 to minus 120 is that number on Kansas City. 7.5 days is the total on the 7.5. Over is minus 120. The under is even. On the 8, the under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. And for Cole Reagans, I set him as a minus 114 favorite. I'm seeing one stray minus 114 out there. That's where I'm going to be leaning as of right now. You're able to get like a plus 170 to plus 175 if you want to lay a run half. I would rather stick with the money line here. And with Jose Barrios, he's been very good thus far this season. I still do have a little bit of trepidation with backing him on the road. Over his career, this includes his time with Minnesota as well, he does have a career ERA that's about 0.75 points higher when he's on the road rather than at home. Now, I will say in his first five starts, three of them have been on the road, and he's given up a combined three runs. He has been able to do a nice job there, but I think the Cole Reagans, could we all bounce back after he had that rough start against the Baltimore Orioles, gives up seven runs, gets just five outs. Prior to that, he had given up five runs in his first four starts of the season, one of which was against Baltimore. And for Cole Reagans, ever since getting to Kansas City, he's got an ERA that is below a 2.75, a fielding independent that is right on par with that. He's been able to get 10 plus strikeouts per nine innings. I think that he's going to be able to wheel and deal out there. And for the Kansas City Royals, they're just in better form with their offense as well. Each out of your top five players in terms of total at-bats this season have at least four home runs. I believe that they're the only team that's able to say that, as you've got Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr. being able to supply those home runs. Well, both of these guys are hitting north of a 3.15. Vinny Pasquantino now giving you a 3.50 on base after a little bit of a cold start to the season. Nelson Velasquez has done a nice job being a move line. He's been able to give you a pair of home runs, sitting about a 2.45 as well. Now the bottom full guys like Adam Frazier, Hunter Renfroe, these guys do need to pick it up a little bit, but I don't like what I've seen there. And for the Royals, this bullpen has been a nice surprise. They're in the upper half of the big leagues in terms of bullpen area. Now Anel Zarpa is probably going to be seeing a little bit of regression along James MacArthur, but these guys have been able to hold down the fort. John Schreiber is someone I've always liked. Now Will Smith, that's a little bit of a different story, but on all these guys have been able to piecemeal it together and get the job done. And for the Blue Jays, this team is still in the bottom 10 of the big leagues with regards to ERA. It's going northward, though. You've got Eric Swanson. You've got Jordan Romano. These guys are significant improvements for the bullpen. Tim Mays, after a sub-2 ERA last season, just has not been able to find it in general. But bigger than that, the Blue Jays just have not simply been able to put bat to ball this far this season. You've got Dalton Varsho, who's been able to give you six home runs and has been solid out there in the field. Nobody else on the roster has more than three home runs, and this is really the big issue that you've got. George Springer, Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Alejandro Kirk, Kevin Kiermaier, Davis Schneider, all hitting a 232 or lower. I don't think any of these guys have much north of a 325 on base. Justin Turner has really had to be the catalyst of this offense, giving you north of a 400 on base. He's been able to supply a pair of home runs. He's been rock solid thus far this season, but I do think the Cole Reagans going to be able to go out there, turn a nice start. Like I said, right now seeing one straight minus 114, wouldn't want to go past that, and I do think that a little bit of money might come in on Toronto, much like it did on Wednesday. So looking at a minus 114 or less on this Kansas City Royals money line, and did somebody tell it at 8.2? I do think that Barrios is doing for a little bit of regression. We did see with Cole Reagans, he is human. I do think that there might be a little bit of positivity here for that Blue Jays lineup in a ballpark that isn't necessarily super pitcher friendly. So looking at the over, and I'm going to be looking at the Royals up to a minus 114 on that money line. 9.15, 9.16 on the betting board. The Walker Texas Rangers play host to the Seattle Mariners. Luis Castillo is on the bump for Seattle. Andrew Heaney is on the bump for Texas, and Texas is back to being a slight underdog. Going to be getting them between plus 105 to plus 108. Anywhere between minus 117 to minus 125 is your number on Seattle. 9 is the total. Under is between minus 115 to a minus 120. The over is between even to minus 105. Meanwhile, I'm seeing an 8.5 out there as well. That over is minus 115. The under is minus 105. I did set this total at 9.2. I'm looking at the over. For the Texas Rangers, it's been honestly a little bit touch and go in terms of their lineup thus far this season, but they have very clearly been a much better hitting team when they've been at home rather than away from home thus far this season, as they've been able to supply you with about 4.7 runs per game at home. They're actually, in terms of raw runs per game, producing about the same amount at home rather than away from home. It's a home run power that has been really transformed when they're at home. You even saw this last year. Last year, they were a bottom five team in the American League. terms of home runs per game away from home. Number one when they were at home, and they go to go up against a guy in Luis Castillo who's had his issues as far as this season. He's got a 4.40 ERA, has been certainly getting tattooed this far this campaign. If you do take a look at the fielding independent, has been a bit unlucky. 2.53 fielding independent, as he's given up only about a home run per nine innings, and he's got 11.3 strikeouts and 1.6 walks per nine innings. Just feels like when he's missed in the wrong spots. I do think that he's going to be able to straighten things out a little bit. And for Andrew Heaney, it's been rough for him, to say the least. 6.35 ERA. He's a strikeout guy that is getting about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, giving up 4.5 walks per 9, and he's coming off of giving up 3 home runs in his last 3 pitching appearances, and has yet to fill anything more than 5 innings, being backed up by a Texas Rangers bullpen that is hovering right around 20th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. They did a nice job picking up Kirby Yates. They also picked up David Robertson in the offseason. There are a few guys that have some upside in this bullpen. Meanwhile, you also have Grant Anderson in this bullpen. You've had Jose LeClerc really act up as well. Both of these guys well north of a 6 ERA. I think that Jordan Lance has a little bit of upside, but that's been a tad bit of an issue. But I do think that for the Rangers, you're going to see more of these bats be able to wake up, as it's been really Adolis Garcia, Marcus Semien carrying the load. Garcia, 7 home runs, hitting well above a 300 with regards to his average. Semien more around about a 325 on base, but he's been able to fly you with 4 home runs this far this season. Corey Seager, 1 home run thus far this campaign. He's been able to give you about a 350 on base. You just expect a little bit more there. Wyatt Langford has been able to give you about a 340 on base, but once again, not a lot of power there, as you've only got for the Texas Rangers 22 home runs in their first 25 games of the campaign. Meanwhile, for the Seattle Mariners, this team last year was a top 4 team in the American League in terms of runs per game away from home. Their offensive numbers very much get dwarfed and, shall we say, minusculized when they are at home. I don't know if minusculized is a word, but they become more minuscule, we'll go with that, when they are at home, because it's a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. But big dumper Cal Raleigh, 6 home runs, about a 350 on base, and Julio Rodriguez is moving the line. Not a lot of power, but he's been able to about a 265 or so for the team. Mitch Haniger has been able to find a way on base. Now, you just need to be able to get some of these guys that they acquired in the offseason. Luke Rayleigh, Mitch Garver, Jorge Polanco, all these guys hitting below them to no sign 200, Luis Urias. You need to be able to get them going a little bit more. And for the Seattle Mariners, I do think that the bullpen is going to be able to put this game on lockdown. You've had a Mariners bullpen that is once again in the top 8 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, and they just find these guys from out of nowhere. Like Tyson Miller is their latest reclamation project. He, Trent Thornton, Gabe Spire, Taylor Cicada. These are guys that were very unheralded guys that have become good parts of this bullpen. Andres Munoz has been one of the better closers in the big leagues as well, and they're doing this without Matt Brash. So I do think that for the Mariners, they are going to be able to take it to Andrew Heaney and the Texas Rangers. I think that both of these offenses do bust out a little bit more. I did set my total at 9.2. Castillo, I think, sees some positivity, but I do think that he's going to be giving up a deep ball or two to be able to help out with the over. So, like this over, but with the Mariners. Also did set them at a minus 126, so going to ride with that Mariners money line to go along with the over. 917, 918 on the betting board. It is the Oakland A's, and they throw the face off against the New York Yankees, as Nestor Cortes is on the bump for the Yankees. Alex Wood is going to be going for the Oakland A's, and the A's, you're finding anywhere between a +205 to a +220 underdog. Meanwhile, you're going to be getting anywhere between -242 to a -260 on the New York Yankees. So on this game, you're going to be finding it at an 8 over and under, anywhere between -105 to a -115, and needed at least a +215 to take a shot here on the Oakland A's, but I am going to be willing to take that shot. I do think that for the Oakland A's, you're going to be able to get just some good production moving forward out of this lineup that actually entered into yesterday number one in the big leagues with regards to home runs hit away from home. Now, I don't know if that's going to be a mainstay or anything like that, but for the Oakland A's, they've been able to do a great job on that front. And I will say, to put the kibosh a little bit more on that, even though they've been hitting the deep ball away from home, it hasn't really resulted in just overall run production in general. That's the Oakland A's. They lead the big leagues in terms of home runs per game away from home, but only the Chicago White Sox are averaging fewer runs per game away from home as well. It's been a lot of solo shots. You've got just Mike Trout 2.0 all across the map for the Oakland A's, but as I said, Brent Rooker, he's been able to supply 5 home runs. Shea Langeliers, both with 5 home runs, and both guys are aiming below the Mendoza line of 200. So, haven't had a lot of guys being able to get on base. Asterio Ruiz has been an exception. He's been able to give you north of a 400 on base, and that is the big issue that you do have with the Oakland A's. For the Oakland A's, among players with at least 55 at-bats as far this season, nobody has north of a 303 on base. I don't think any of these guys have a batting average above a 235 as well. Abraham Toro has been able to give you a little bit of something, but all in all, it's been rough for guys like Zach Gallof and company. And for the New York Yankees, it's not like they've been in amazing form in terms of their offense as well. This has been a unit that has been very up and down and topsy-turvy in terms of their offense, especially with the struggles of Aaron Judge hitting just .191. He has been able to give you four home runs. He's been able to bust out a little bit more here in this series, but that said, you do have to have your pause with that. Juan Soto, he has been the main catalyst. .430 on base, six home runs. He has been tremendous. And Giancarlo Stanton, now becoming a little bit of an all or nothing player. Only about a .290 on base, but has been able to supply five home runs. You've got the likes of Oswaldo Cabrera, Anthony Volpe have stepped up as young guys, but both of these guys starting to experience a little bit of regression. But for both of these bullpens, I do think that they're going to be able to go out there and be able to give you some good presentable performances, as the Oakland A's have really been able to do a nice job with their bullpen. They're currently ranked eighth in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. Danny Jimenez has been absolutely tremendous, but some of these older guys like Austin Adams, Michael Kelly, they've been able to give you good presentable innings. Lucas Ursage, who used to be a position player in the Brewers organization, has come over and has been a very good reliever. Meanwhile, for the Yankees, they're currently ranked number six in the big leagues with regards to their bullpen ERA. They get back Ron Mananacchio. He and Ian Hamilton were both very good last season. Hamilton has acted up a little bit, but all in all, still doing a relatively solid job. You got Victor Gonzalez, who comes over from the Dodgers. He's been pretty rock solid. Caleb Ferguson has had his ups and downs, but I liked what I saw from him with the Dodgers last season, so I do think that he's going to pick up the slack. The big question is, what are you going to be able to get out of these starters? And for Nestor Cortez, he has been able to post up an ERA about 2 points lower when he's been at home rather than when he's been away from home last two seasons, but just hasn't necessarily been in the world's greatest of form. If you take a look at what he's done thus far this season, while he does have a 3.41 ERA, the strikeout numbers are down. He's only getting about 8.7 strikeouts per nine innings. Now, to his credit, the command has been there. Only about 1.6 walks per nine innings, giving up about a home run per nine. And for Alex Wood, even when he was over in San Francisco, he was giving up a little bit more hard contact than what you'd like. And that is the biggest piece of the puzzle here for the Oakland A's, because he thus far this season has been posting up an ERA right around about a 7.89. 5.33 fielding independent. So his fielding independent is 2.5 points lower than his ERA. It's not like he's pitched well. 8.3 strikeouts, about 4.5 walks per nine, and he's giving up a lot of general contact. But I do think that his batting average on balls in play is going to be a little bit better moving forward. I actually don't think that this ballpark is necessarily the world's worst for him being a lefty. So it's a circumstance where I am going to be willing to ride with the Oakland A's at a +215 or higher on the money line. And did something I told him at 8.3. I think that the Yankees get some runs off of Alex Wood, but I do think that the A's are going to have a little bit more success on balls in play. If you look at their baseball savant numbers, should be seeing a little bit of positivity on that front. So I'm going to add the over and the A's on the money line, and we wrap things up with 919-920 on the betting board. It is the Chicago Cubs. They play OC Houston Astros. Justin Verlander goes for the Astros. Javier Assad is on the bump for the Cubs. Right now, the total is 7.5, over and under, both at -110. Only Circa has a total up on this game. Everyone else waits until the AM with the Wrigley Field win situation. Meanwhile, for the Astros, they're between -120 to -125 favorites, and between +105 to +110 is that number on the Cubs, and I'm going to be willing to back the Cubs on the money line. I did set them at a -103. If you're looking at the win situation, it's going to be blowing in ever so slightly towards the beginning of the day. It's going to be more directional wind with a temperature of about 50 for this one. So it's not great conditions. It's not terrible conditions. It's going to be relatively neutral, in my opinion. So I did set my total at 8.7. I do like the over. For the Houston Astros, this bullpen is now in the bottom 10 in the big leagues with regards to ERA, as you've had Josh Hader along with Ryan Presley be absolutely terrible. And to be able to get those guys, they had to give up on guys like Ryan Stanek, Hector Neris, who have been relatively solid bullpen pieces last few seasons. Brian Abreu has been giving you nearly a 5 ERA as well. And for Justin Verlander, in his first start, looked relatively solid. Gave up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings. Strikeout numbers, though, very much down. And for Justin Verlander in his season in 2023, had a fielding independent that was about 0.6 points higher rather than his ERA. So I have to figure that you might see a little bit of regression there. And for Javier Assad, ever since he's become a starter for the Chicago Cubs, this guy has been absolutely amazing. In the role of starter, he's got a sub-3 ERA dating back to the All-Star break of the 2023 season, and for Javier Assad, he's looked much better this year than he did a season ago as well. Now, I still expect a little bit of regression. Last year, he had a fielding independent that was 4.29 compared to a 3.05 ERA, and he's doing a lot of the same this year, 2.11 ERA, 3.67 fielding independent, but his swings and misses are up. Last year, he was getting about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, getting about 9 punchouts per 9 thus far this season, and keeping the ball in the yard, giving up just 0.8 home runs per 9 innings. He has been giving up about 3.5 walks per 9, but all in all, he's been able to do a really nice job, giving given up two runs or fewer in each of his four starts of the season. I do think that there's going to be a little bit of regression for this. The Houston Astros lineup at the top has actually been very good. Jose Altuve, Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez. You cannot blame the struggles on these guys. They've all been able to supply at least five home runs. All three of these guys at least a 350 on base and at least a 273 average. They have done their part. Alex Bregman having a classic Alex Bregman start, hitting 200 with zero home runs. So he's been about as useful as a poopy flavored lollipop, but Yunier Diaz has upgraded that catcher spot, hitting a 285 with some pop. Jose Abreu continues to be just absolutely terrible for the team, but all in all, the Astros lineup, it's looked just fine. Meanwhile, for the Chicago Cubs, it's been a little bit touch and go for them, but they're averaging well north of 5.5 runs per contest when they have been at home. You've had some struggling bats out there, Christopher Morel. You just expect a little bit more than a 290 on base and three home runs at this point of the season, but you've been able to find a way to get Michael Busch going. He had that streak of five home runs in five games, about a 350 on base out of him. Ian Happ, even though he's not hitting for power, he, C.A. Suzuki, Mike Tauchman have all been able to give you at least a 350 on base, and for Tauchman, it's actually a 400 on base. And for Cody Bellinger, after a really rough start to the season, he's starting to get into nice form. 320 on base. That said, looks like he's probably going to be landing on the injured list after he got injured on Tuesday. So a little bit less than terrific there. That does hurt this team a tad. But so if Nico Horner is able to do a solid job, be able to move the line, and this is a team with some relatively solid depth. Looks like they're going to DFA Garrett Cooper as well. So circumstance where I'm going to be willing to back the Cubs just because even though their bullpen has been a little bit shaky this year, they're dealing with an injury to Julian Merriweather. It's still been better than that of the Houston Astros. Colton Brewer has been able to come in, hold down the fort, give you some good innings. Luke Little, Mark Leiter Jr., these guys have been pretty tremendous, and I like Edgar Elsley at the back half of the bullpen. So set the Cubs at a -103. I do like them on the money line. Did set my total at 8.7, so also looking at the over, and that'll wrap things up for the Thursday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And a big thanks to Ben Wilson. Does amazing work here at the network. You join me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to find those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at @GNN_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. That means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.